Welcome to Carituals. This week, how to listen better. The questions this cast answers are, how do I listen better? Why does closing your eyes help with listening? And can I listen and analyze at the same time?
Folks, since this guidance is about listening better, I can tell you that one way you can start to listen better is to take our empty disc product and learn what your natural behavioral tendencies are. A lot of listening struggles occur when your communication style is different than someone else's. If you're a high D, for instance, you're going to get impatient listening to other people. And knowing that you're a high D, if you don't already, and you're talking to a high S or a high C who talks slower, you have to teach yourself to slow down and to pay attention and to not interrupt. Far too many of us high D's and high I's don't realize we spend our lives interrupting other people. And that's just not effective in terms of listening to other people and the points they're going to make. Whether you have role power or not, doesn't matter. Listening is what executives say they spend 70% of their time doing. So it's good to be doing it well. An empty disc will help.
I don't know about you, Andrew, but I hear, did you hear a word I said? Fairly frequently.
Yeah.
Both at home and at work.
Yeah.
And we laughed, and most people laugh because we all hear it sometimes. And the answer is, I wasn't even listening. But actually, there are certain skills and high-stakes meetings where it would be good to be able to listen and to listen well. And it's not a skill that we can turn on and off. It's not, in an interview, I can suddenly be a better listener. You actually have to practice it, like a lot of things. And so practicing it day to day makes you better at the moment when it really matters.
Yeah. I find that I'm usually talking to other high eyes, and so they're not listening either. They hold
so
it against
it's fine.
Me. But there are definitely cases where it would behoove one to know how to listen. So that's what we're going to talk about. Our outline for today is listen with intent. Don't multitask. Close your eyes. Take notes and write what you hear. Analyze after you've listened and ask questions.
And the first one is listen with intent. And before we go off, I heard a podcast also about listening a couple of days ago. And some of the feedback they got was about people equating listening and hearing and the ability to hear. I don't think it matters much if you don't hear audible sounds, then listening means watching people, watching someone interpreting for you, watching the writing. It's still about paying attention to someone's communication, not necessarily about hearing audible sound. So
yeah, there's a great reference there, Wendy, that you may not be familiar with. There was a movie called White Men Can't Jump.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fantastic scene where they were talking about listening to Jimi Hendrix and, well, you're listening, but you can't hear Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
right? So listening and hearing being very different things. For the purposes of our exercise today, we're going to equate listening and hearing with, I mean, more or less, you're taking in the information,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah, paying attention to someone's communication. Yeah. And we listen better when we have a reason for listening. And that's why we use this little quirk of human nature in the delegation model. So when you're training managers, the delegation model, what is it that you tell them?
Yeah, we tell them to get specific acceptance, to ask your direct for them to take on the responsibility for this new task before you give them the details of the task, which is counter to what a lot of managers do. And that's not just managers, that's our human nature, right? Our nature is to try to give a little bit of an on-ramp to get them up to speed and make them understand or help them understand what we're talking about, what it is, before we get them to buy into it. But in fact, it's the opposite. We say, get them to say yes to doing this thing or express concerns if they have concerns, and then still get them to say yes before you give them the details of the task. Because when you do that, you are getting them to listen to the task knowing why they're listening to the task, right? They're listening because this is now their thing,
mm-hmm.
versus giving them all this information and then asking them, okay, so can you take this on? In that case, they say, well, yeah, sure, I'll take that on. Can you go back through those? I didn't know what I was listening for before.
Right.
Can you go back through everything that you just said? Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't want, right?
It's like when you get to the end of a math question, you know, one of those written out ones, like about the train that's going, leaving Philadelphia, and the driver's got an egg sandwich, and you get to the end, and then you're like, oh, now I understand the question. I've got to go right up to the beginning, because now I know the egg sandwich was important.
Yeah. I remember when I was studying for the LSAT, this is, 20 years ago, but I remember they said, you know, for some of the reading comprehension, because they specifically designed those to be very technical, hard to read, hard to follow, you know, paragraphs, you should go read the questions first to find out what context clues do you need before you read the paragraph form. And I mean, if you could do that, if you had that shortcut, that shorthand in real life in for conversations, yeah.
Can you
that
tell
would
me
be
the
great.
Questions first? That would be awesome.
Exactly.
What's that bottom line up front? There you go. And you'd think that we would have a reason for listening all the time. Like when we're in a meeting and our boss is talking, the fact that he's our boss and he's talking should be enough to make sure we're listening. Probably goes for husbands and wives.
But, you would think.
But we don't, right? Sometimes we're arguing back in our heads. Sometimes we're preparing to argue out loud. Sometimes we're compiling our grocery list whilst appearing to listen. Andrew was just talking. I knew he was fine because we were describing the delegation model that he does all the time. And I was poking my cat, who is snoring, and I wanted to stop her snoring before that got on here. And I didn't hear a word Andrew said. I just knew it was weird. So, you know, we could be doing anything. But the fact that someone is expending their energy to communicate with us ought to be enough reason for us to listen. And the evidence is it's not.
Yeah. You bring up a great point about, especially at home, but I mean, definitely at work too. I can't count the number of times someone gets a few sentences in and I am crafting my response. Mm-hmm. I'm crafting my argument to either, you know, point out how I don't think that's the right course of action, or we should do something differently. Sarah caught me in a session once recently. Someone started their question and they kind of changed their question midstream, but I heard the first few sentences and I, as soon as they finished talking, I said, nope, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, no, I mean, because of this part. And I said, oh, yeah, you did say that. Sorry, I had already said, this is the answer, and this is what I'm going with. Yeah, we've got to be better listeners, for sure. And you would think that we have a reason, but it doesn't mean we do it. So, like, for instance, understanding the details of a task that we're being delegated is certainly an intent that we can have for listening, but that doesn't work for every conversation. Other intents that you could have is, I mean, this is going to be pretty simple, maybe reductive, but just to be a professional, right? I mean, being a professional, if your boss is talking, your boss could be telling you something that he or she may ask for you to recall later. And
like, professionals, do you remember having this conversation?
Yeah. Don't you remember we talked about this? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or do you remember what I decided about this?
Exactly. Professionals are able to recall conversations that they've had. I mean, within the last week, I mean, it's not something, if it's 8 months ago, maybe you need to refer back to your notes, but that's the key, right? Is you have notes, you were paying attention, and your intention is to be a professional. Now, your intention could also be that you want to be a good teammate. You want to be someone who, if your peers are talking, that you're listening properly. And again, taking notes, asking good questions, those are things we're going to cover here in a bit. But those are also reasons that provide good intent or reasons for listening.
And if you're at home and you're on a phone meeting or a video meeting and you can't be seen, your desk can't be seen, you can put your reason on a piece of paper and just put it within your eye line. Because one of the things that we do is we set an intent and then we drift away from it. So having it there in front of you helps you come back to it and remind you to start listening when you've drifted away.
Now, Wendy, some people are going to hear that and they're going to think that's silly, right?
Oh, for sure. It's woo-woo.
But sometimes you need something to, I mean, one of my favorite stories is how Sarah told me that she, you know, she's not a natural smiler. And so when she started presenting, she needed a little sticky note to remind herself, hey, smile, right? When you're presenting, we need those little reminders. And it, you know, when it comes to communication and behaviors, we need something to make us kind of change our behavior, because we do this so much, which we're going to talk about. That's a good thing. We get lots of opportunities to practice, but it also really solidifies sometimes bad habits.
Exactly. And part of the reason that those of us who don't listen well is that we don't say to ourselves up front, I'm going to listen well in this meeting. If you don't have the conscious intent, your subconscious won't help you. If what you're thinking about as you slide into a meeting a minute before it starts is, I need to order groceries later, all you will think about in that meeting is, I need to remember tomatoes, I need to remember chicken, I need, because you've told yourself subconscious, we're ordering groceries. If you say, I'm listening in this meeting, your subconscious will help you. And that's all a bit woo-woo. And if you don't want to take that, don't take it. We'll just move on to the next one, which is don't multitask.
Don't multitask. Yeah, we've said it before. Multitasking is stupid. It can't be done. We have a whole podcast called How Not to Multitask about not multitasking and what to do instead. But the very idea, the concept of multitasking is just dumb, right? It doesn't matter if you're, and because there's a lot of, maybe stereotypes is the right word for, you know, whether you're male or female, young, old, you know, it's probably, you know, millennials multitask.
Yes,
or,
right?
You know, all of this stuff, right? The bottom line is you cannot do two things at the same time and do them well. Even listening to podcasts. While you're doing housework, you're driving, or you're running around, or exercising, right? Uh-huh. Running. One retains less than one would if you just sat there quietly and listened. And I can't count the number of times I have had, you know, I've listened to podcasts and I was doing something else and I had to go use the skip back button.
Yes.
Right? I go, wait, there was something good there. What was that? And then I have to go back 30 seconds. That's the, by the way, the back 30 seconds button, best thing ever invented. But, you know, when we're doing things, even that don't use a lot of our brain, I mean, vacuuming doesn't use a lot of brain power, but we still can't listen and vacuum well at the same time. I mean, if we can't do that, how do we think that we could actually answer emails or work on a spreadsheet and listen well at the same time? It's just impossible.
Can't be done.
Folks, if you want to take your listening to the next level after you take an MT disc, you ought to come to our Effective Communicator Conference. We've won awards for the setup, and you will go through not just the basics of disc, but also how to observe other people, how to analyze where they are in DISC. Whether you know their DISC profile or not, doesn't matter. And then you can make small changes, not big changes, small changes in how you behave to improve your relationship with them, to improve your trust, and that improves your network of connections. And it means getting work done is easier because all work is collaborative work in the modern organization. Come to the ECC and find out.
Next, close your eyes. Don't do this if you're listening and driving. Another reason not to
multitask. Oh, yes, thank you.
Or, you know, if you're in public. Sometimes you actually, in meetings, you can get away with closing your eyes, depending on, you know, if it's interactive, you can't. If it's short bits back and forth, but sometimes you can. But we underestimate how much our brain uses our sense of sight when listening. Those people that say, I can't hear you without my glasses on, are not joking. I mean, they are joking, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's actually easier to hear someone when you can see them because your eyes are taking in all the information that supplements the sounds that you're hearing. It's the facial expression along with I'll do it that tells you whether it's I'll do it or I'll do it. You know, part
right.
of that is the facial expression that goes with it, not just the sounds of the of your voice.
Oh, yeah. And even if you're not, I mean, even if we've all had the situation where we think we heard what the person said, but their facial expression didn't match it. And so you were like, wait a second, I didn't get that right. Because clearly, if you would have said what I think you said, you would have not been smiling with your eyebrows raised. Like, that doesn't
yes.
add up. And so sometimes you need to just shut your eyes and know that you can focus on just what's being said, right? I think I read somewhere that our sight is our most dominant of our senses.
Yeah, I think you're
so
right.
Yeah, it's going to take over. It's going to take over. And sometimes you need to just shut your eyes and focus. The other thing is, if you're in front of your computer or you're doing remote work, or maybe you're on a call and it's not a video call, you know, some of us are better than others at turning off notifications, mm-hmm. turning off. And it, as good as some software platforms are or operating systems are at stopping or pausing notifications, inevitably, right, you forget something, or some random piece of software that you haven't used in 10 weeks now says, oh, it's time to update. Yes. And now it pops up and you've got something taking your mental energy away from listening.
And so if you're on a call, for example, if you're on a phone call, your eyes are open, you're taking in all of the things around you, your body, your brain is converting all that light into information for your brain, but none of it is related to the words that are being said. It's what's in your office, and that's not the person that's saying it. So if you close your eyes, then it removes all of the irrelevant data that you're seeing, and it makes listening easier. It's just shutting down the sense that you don't need.
So wait, Wendy, are you saying that you can't be on a conference call and doing email at the same time?
You cannot. See multitasking above. Just skip back. Use that 30-second button.
Use that 30-second button.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next point here is take notes and write down what you hear. Taking notes is the best way to force yourself to listen. The best way to listen to people is to have to write down what they say. And it's also a mark of professionalism to take notes. Professionals take notes as a way of kind of solidifying that information in their brain and making it easier to recall, because that's what professionals can do. They take notes, they recall information, or they can look it up later. So taking notes, and specifically when we say taking notes, we mean taking handwritten notes. You're writing notes with your hand. That is seemingly, you know, more and more contentious lately, yes. Right? Because people want to type. But all the data that we've seen say that handwriting your notes is better for retention and for a lot of reasons. Encryption, one of mm-hmm. them. There's no better encryption than my handwriting, I can tell you that right now. So,
plus, if you're typing, people think you're doing email.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a little bit of naivete out there where you think, well, they won't know I'm typing. Some of you type like your keyboard insulted your family. I don't know what it is, but it is this loud. I mean, you don't hear it, but it is loud. We can hear it. Click, clack, click, clack, click, clack. I mean, it is really, really loud. I don't know what your keyboard did to you, but it's not as imperceptible as you think.
No. And a lot of the time, you don't hear it anymore because it's the sound you hear all the time, and your brain
exactly.
is said, that sound is perfectly safe. I'm just going to log it mm-hmm. away in my subconscious, and you're not hearing it consciously.
Exactly.
So when you do take notes, write down what you hear, which is a very different thing to what most people take notes about it. So what you're doing is writing down the word you hear, not what you thought about it or the conclusion. And with yeah. practice, you can write down every major word that's said. You don't need the thes and the as and the, you don't need to spell out entire words. Some people can do it without the vowels. I can't do that. But if you can write down every major word that was said in case of a disagreement later, you'll have a record of exactly what was promised. That's why we send cover your backside emails, have cover mm-hmm. your backside notes, if that's what makes it. And it takes practice to build up the muscles in your hands for writing with a pen or a stylus. Yes, it hurts when you write for a long time initially, but like every other part of your body, they get stronger the more you use them.
Yeah. This is what we teach in the Effective Hiring Manager course. When we are teaching managers, hiring managers, you know, how to take notes in interviews, we teach them to write what you hear. Because in an interview, in a meeting, in most professional settings, your summarization or your conclusion or your perception about what was said is not what you want to capture. You want to capture what was said so that you can go back later and then analyze. That's going to be one of our points. I mean, you don't want to capture something like, you know, a conclusion that you drew from what they said. You want to write down, you know, if they said that, they miss the deadline on a project, right? You don't want to put something like not punctual or not, you know, doesn't care about deadlines.
Yeah, because you don't know later, like 3 weeks later, it's like, was it an important deadline? Was it about a project? Was it just like they were late for work?
Yeah, exactly. It's so hard to go back and, you know, infer from a two-word conclusion about, you know, 70 words that were said.
And it's much easier to look at that and draw the same conclusion again if you have what was written.
Absolutely.
And listening and analyzing are two different skills. And so trying to do them both at the same time is multitasking. See above.
See above.
And if you're listening and analyzing at the same time, you're probably doing both poorly. And if you can't repeat the exact words that I just said in that sentence, I just proved my point.
Instead, you know, we say write down what the person who is talking is saying and not necessarily what you are gleaning from what they're saying. And again, you know, I'm beating a dead horse here, but that's really critical when you talk about being able to analyze, which is our next point, right? You may think that you should be analyzing along the way, right, as they're talking. But if you do that, you are inevitably going to be formulating thoughts in your head that are potentially counter to what they're saying, or
at least divergent. Which is exactly what you just described in that example from the conference, right? You heard the first part of the question, and then you didn't hear the second part because you were thinking about the answer to the first part.
Yep, exactly. So when it's time to analyze, when is that time to analyze? We say analyze when they stop speaking. So take a breath when someone stops speaking and use that brief moment to analyze what was said. Then give your answer. We often think that we're going to, or we're thinking about what we're going to say while the other person is speaking. And if you were doing that, that requires that you are listening, analyzing, and formulating a reply all at the same time. We just discussed multitasking, okay? You cannot do two things at once, let alone three things at once. Okay, so don't multitask. Wait until someone has stopped speaking. Then you know, that's the other thing. You don't have all the information potentially yet, right? Like my example, you don't have all the information. You need to make sure you have all the information. This isn't Jeopardy, right? Buzzing in before they've finished or before you've got the whole question isn't necessary here, and it's not helpful. So we want to wait until they've stopped speaking. Then analyze and formulate an answer.
And that pause of your breath after someone stops speaking and before you start answering is way shorter than you think it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty rare for us to notice that someone takes a long time to answer a question, in part because when we stop speaking, all we're doing is thinking about what we just said and not what we're about to hear. There is plenty of time for you to analyze what you heard and formulate a response after the person stops speaking. However, you know, antsy it makes you feel, or it feels like forever to you, it really isn't. And if you need to, you can make an I'm thinking noise, or hold on while I think about it, or just let me work that through. You can say something that gives you a few seconds. But most of the time, people don't even notice.
You can even make a face. People have thinking faces,
yes.
Right? Where they put, you know, they kind of put their finger to their temple and they go, right? Like, whatever. Something that just kind of says, I'm thinking about that. Now, this does mean for the D's and I's, right? Wendy's a high D, I'm a high I. The assertive profiles in the DISC model, that means you have to stop interrupting. I know, it's tough.
It is. And other people talk so slowly.
Sometimes they talk so slow. Or sometimes as high I's, we're just allergic to silence and we just want to fill in gaps. But the C's and S's that don't go fast enough for you, you tend to step on them. You tend to finish their sentence and then start yours all in the same breath. You can change this in the same way that you've learned not to say every word that you think in your head out loud at work.
Hopefully.
You need to decide that you're going to change that. You're going to make this change and then practice. Practice making that change.
Next, ask questions. Asking questions makes people think we were listening to what they were saying. Now, we're not only going to make them think we're listening, we're actually going to listen. But knowing that you are going to ask a question forces you to listen with intent and therefore listen more attentively. And those of us who have a tendency not to listen also have a tendency to think that we understood everything that was conveyed, only to later find out that there was some detail we either didn't hear or we didn't ask enough.
Yeah.
So even if you think you know the answer, ask a question about what's being said.
Yeah. There's this concept, and I'm not as familiar with it as maybe I should be, but it's kind of a buzzwordy kind of thing, active listening, right? Which active listening, from what I can gather, is a technique of just repeating what you've heard as a way of kind of reinforcing. Right. So, you know, I heard you say this, right? Or, you know, acknowledging what you heard, which, you know, that's, I'm sure, helpful in some contexts, but that's not the same as asking questions. A question is asked to elicit further information, not just confirm what was originally heard or originally said. And there's a big difference between, for example, I heard you say that you will take care of sending the marketing emails on Friday. Okay, that would be active listening, just confirming what I just heard. And just so I'm clear, when we say marketing emails, we're including the ones on the second list that go to overseas clients, right? Both clarify what was said, but only one of those receives more information. So repeating back to someone what you've heard, even in your own words, I mean, that's relatively easy. Knowing that you're going to have to ask a question, clarifying, you know, what the information was, and maybe getting more information, that forces you to listen more carefully in order to find the question in what was said.
And those of us that think we're smart and that we don't need it repeating and we don't need clarification, just try it a few times and discover how much you would have missed without.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the good news about all of this, as with all communication improvements that we wish to make, we communicate all day, every day, whether it's on the phone, on video. People complain, I'm in meetings all day. Excellent. You've got 8 hours of listening practice. There are hundreds of opportunities to listen. And all of that practice means you get faster, you get better faster because you have lots of practice. It's the opposite of the Christmas rule.
Exactly.
So you could probably be a better listener and stop getting that feedback of, were you even listening, in weeks or even days rather than months. So why not start now?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.